Others and pray that you will give us strength and help us to be that guiding light for others. We thank you for all your love and care. Please watch over us through this day, and in the end we pray that we'll be able to go home to be with you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Be seated.
Yes, sir.
Preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 370. 370. Night with heaven pinion, brooded o'er the veil, all around the silent, say, in the garden.
If indeed it may, let this cup of anguish pass from me, I pray. Yet if it must be suffered by me, thine only Son, Abba, Father,
received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table this morning, let's remember the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And Father, this emblem represents that body that hung on the cross. Father, as we partake of this bread, may we do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fruit of the vine, which represents that precious blood that was shed for us. Again, Father, we pray that who partake of it, do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for each and every blessing you give us every day. Father, we're grateful that we have the jobs that we do and that, Father, you provide us with everything that we need. If we give back today, Father, we pray that we'll give back with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have 20 present this morning. Today is January 31st, 2021, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 682. 682 will be the song of invitation after our lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 506. 506. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth.
Important to us to tell the truth. Tell the truth, to be honest about what we're saying, honest about what we're planning, honest about what we were doing in life. How much did the Lord tell us about that subject of being truthful? He explained to us, as we read there very vividly, the description about love and the kind of ways of life. In 1 Corinthians 13, that love is that which always enjoys the truth. It is not that which is opposite. It is that which is enjoying the way of truth and the way of righteousness. When we find Jesus talking about salvation's plan, he said that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When people were lost in sin, as on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they were told that they had taken by wicked and lawless hands and had crucified the Lord of glory. They were pricked in their hearts, cut to their heart. They were summoned in their heart to realize that this is true, this is accurate. Now then, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to as many afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that day there were 3,000 souls obedient to the gospel. And they are praised in Acts 2:47, the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. The subject of salvation Jesus had talked about was still the subject of salvation on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. As we read about this, we read about the brethren there at Jerusalem finding themselves involved with one another. There were people there who did not have the wherewithal to eat food. They were there for the events of Passover time. And they have found themselves staying on over that time. And now on this day there was a special event that had taken place and they just were in need. As they obeyed the Lord, they found themselves in need. And what did the brethren find themselves doing? They found themselves putting things together so that they might help these brethren that were in times of need. Notice it is said regarding this matter that they were people who sold their possessions and goods and parted them, as many as in every way that every man gave to have his need met. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were people who followed the way of the Lord and did his right way. Let's raise a question in regard to this matter. How were they to worship the Lord as they found themselves bowing before him? Jesus had talked about worship in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. When he said in verse 23 that God seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The idea of the worship of God is to be done bowing before him. As we sing these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. The truth of the matter is that as we sing, we find ourselves looking upward, thinking upward, and praising God for the words of these songs that exalt Him and encourage one another by these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. As we find the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs engaged in our heart, we reflect upon how we're living, how we're doing. Are we the people that are common, as the song would say? Are we the people who love Him, as the song says? Are we the people who exalt Him, as the song say? Are we the people who care for Him and others, as the song says? Or are we the people who sing the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs just because they have a melody? Just because they have a sound that we like? A pleasantness that we like? Or do we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord? The old preachers used to say, not in the harp, not in a harp, not an external instrument of some kind, but the instrument that the Lord identified by Salo in the heart. That we're to be people who pluck the chords of our heart. And there are songs that bring tears to our eyes. There are songs that bring a commitment to our soul. There are songs that bring dependency upon one another to our minds. And because we worship Him in spirit and in truth, we find our zeal to go forth and do even more of the service of one another in this matter. And we find ourselves reflecting upon the forgiveness of the Lord for us. And it will bring tears to our eyes. It'll bring a resistance in our minds. It'll bring us to enjoy the relationship that we have with God. Now, as we find ourselves worshipers of the Lord, would we find ourselves getting involved with those external instruments? When in fact the heart itself is to be employed. We're to sing and make melody in our heart. Have you ever heard your voice sing in the heart? Well, if you do, then you'll find a different kind of reaction that you'll have to the words of redemption and love and forgiveness that are mentioned in the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that we sing. If it's just a matter of the melody of itself sounding out externally, then you and I could be involved with instrumental music around the world, and of course all the religious groups around us are part of that way of life. If there's a way in which they find themselves involved with the sounds and the effects of it, but the heart is to be involved. And when we find ourselves singing praise unto Him in our heart, we find emotion that's going to be within our heart that calls upon us to change our way that's not right. That's the truth of the matter. Changing our ways of not right. Finding ourselves involved with help and aid and assistance is more than just one person's mission. It's more than one person to be a part of a building like we have here. It's more than one person's advance to be a part of the facilities that we have here. But we're to be people who do this in order to make it abundantly clear to people who come to a building like this, an auditorium like this, that they come to a place where there's the worship of God Himself being done. And that we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And that we're found to be true worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And because of that worship of God that we do, we find ourselves enjoying the truth about worship and the truth about salvation. We were saved from our sins in order to bless Him in regard to our psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, we read a situation that's going on underway. He says in 2 Peter 1, at verse 4 actually, according to the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue. You see, the Lord called us, and we answered that call by responding obediently to the gospel. As they did on the Pentecost day, we found ourselves repenting of sin, being baptized into Christ, and raised to walk, as Paul wrote in Romans 6, in the newness of life. We began a new walk in life, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing. Some of us have had the benefit of those around us who encouraged us to continue on our prayer life, continue on our service life, continue on our worship life. And since we were youth, we found ourselves counting on our hand just one or two or three times, maybe five times, when we were in the hospital or in times of illness or sickness, that we missed a service of the church. Only a few times was that occasion. We always were asking what was done at the church. I asked this morning who served communion last week, what went along, and James was telling me about it, and what was going on with the 22 that were present last week. It was good to have that to be done. Even though we were out of town and in with a congregation of 31 down at Nile, my old home congregation where I began in 1960, 62 years ago. Yet they were as responsive to me now as they were back then. Many of them have died and been buried there at the Nile Cemetery. And as a result of that, we found ourselves going among them in the cemetery there on Saturday, putting flowers here and there to be a part of a remembrance of those who have gone before us. We thought about those who really illustrated their love for us and love for a young man preaching the gospel. When we had opportunity to be there, we found ourselves in this divine power. We found ourselves honoring that divine power. According to his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There are things in the world of which we find ourselves desiring to be a part if we concentrate on just the things of this world. If we concentrate on the things of this world, we're not concentrating on things that are true and lasting and eternal. We're thinking about just the things of this world. And so if we're thinking about just the things of this world, we find ourselves enjoying the lust thereof and finding ourselves not overcoming that. But we will overcome it if we have the divine nature through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. He called us to glory and virtue, and now we find that divine nature allows us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he adds this to be added to our lives. As we find ourselves baptized into Christ, worshiping him as true worshipers in spirit and in truth, what now do we need to add to our daily walk of life? He says in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, that is, give our way to it, give our diligence to it, give our service to it. Make this be a meaningful thing to your life. And thus it is said, and giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Add unto your faith a strength to do what's right, a strength to think what's right, a strength to be planning what's right, a strength that you will honor in life. And more than this, add virtue knowledge, a knowledge, a way of life that he's talked about earlier here when he says in verse 3, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge. Add that knowledge to your life. Add so that you will remember where it is. Remember what it is. And instead of saying to people, you don't know what your Bible says about this matter, and embarrassing them, we can rose it into a question mark, asking, have you ever read these verses that deal with our knowledge of Him? And when they will read of their knowledge of that, they'll find themselves convicted by the Word of God. Convicted to become just a Christian. Just a servant of the Lord. And instead of saying to people, oh no, that's not the way, I don't know, I don't read my Bible, I don't remember where it is in the Bible, but I know it's there. Instead of saying it that way, look at it from a standpoint of, let's look into the Bible and see what it says about the subject of knowledge and faith. Notice that Jude wrote in Jude 1 at verse 3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith is not your faith necessarily. Your faith could be that faith of the Lord. But it would be the fact that you began with that faith in the Lord, and that faith rewarded you with the knowledge of the faith in all matters. So that the faith was a part of your soul and your trust of truth. And so you could trust in the Word of God. He says, add to that knowledge temperance and patience. Be a person under control. Be a person who recognizes the need to be under control. And be in control of our spirit, control of our voices, control of our reactions to what people say to us. You'll find a real strength within that. That is a virtuous strength. It's a way of righteousness. And there's a patience that you have in regard to it. And godliness. Add unto your patience godliness. Add a godlike spirit. A godlike way of talking. A godlike way of speaking. A godlike way of urging. Because you do that, you'll find yourself in truth following His will. And as in godliness, you add brotherly kindness. Adding brotherly kindness, a pathos of kindness to our fellow man. A love for our fellow man. A kindness that is offered in the speaking that we do. It'll do good in business. It'll do good in a family. It'll do good in the neighborhood. It'll do good in the church. To be people who are thoughtful in the ways that we speak in brotherly kindness one to another. And then he finally says, add unto brotherly kindness, charity. The word charity, so used in that day and time of 1611 in King James English, is the word for agape. It's the Greek word for God-like love. Add not just love that you have for a person, but add the God-like love that He had for us. Have that God-like love in your life as you add it to the other people. He says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice that in the way in which we go, adding these things of faith and virtue and temperance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, once we add these things in our lives, we become people who are really not barren nor unfruitful. There will be fruit that comes from this way of living, this way of doing. And looking for that fruit to occur, we'll find ourselves looking for the opportunity to have someone to say, you know, that's the right way. I have missed that right way. I never saw the light in that way. And now I do. And because of that, they choose to obey that gospel. Choose to be faithful to that word and faithful to that way, and they have a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what he says in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, make all diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And our Wednesday night study about the place of the kingdom, that the definition of the word kingdom is a rule, it is a kingship, it is royal, and that that kingship is involved in a realm where the church is involved in membership as a body. And how that our body, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 15, he says, because the hand shall say, I'm not the eye, or the foot shall say, I'm not the ear. Is that so? Does that mean that it's not there? No, it's to be faithful to its charge. The foot is to do a certain operation, the hand is to do a certain operation. And the way that we do with our eye, we're to do certain things with our eye, we're to see those things that are righteous and good. And because of that, we find ourselves doing the things that are right and good before God. But if you're lacking these things, he said, you're blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten you were purged from your old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, be diligent to make your calling and your election sure. Notice what he says in verse 11. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. That ends where we started a lesson day. Telling the truth. Telling the facts as God has related them. Telling the truth about a matter. Now you'll find yourself ending up serving the way of truth. If you do these things, your abundant entrance will be administered to you into the everlasting kingdom. That everlasting kingdom we look forward to. We look forward in this church to being as faithful as we humanly can be, growing as we should grow in the church, being the faithful people of the Lord. And as we do this, we will be entered into the everlasting kingdom side of the church. It is that which we go to, eternal in heaven itself, in the presence of the Heavenly Father. And that Heavenly Father loves worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And how that they grow in the knowledge of the truth. And how they served in the way of the truth. And now then, he says, if you add these things in your character of life, faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, these things will be in you and abound. And what will they do for you? They'll bear fruit for you. They'll bear fruit for you in the family, bear fruit for you in the neighborhood, bear fruit for you in the community where you live, bear fruit for you in the service of the nation in which we live. You will find an opportunity to be a person who does this truth. And when you finally cross over to life's other side, you will enter into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there will be found what? Be established in the present truth. What a place to be and where to be. It's a joy to be with you all and to study with you today about the truth and how we're to live. And I trust that those who listen by way of the internet system will realize that we're not talking about people becoming a member of our church, our way, talking about our membership being so true and faithful, but talking about the Lord's church and the Lord's way of membership being so faithful and growing in Him, that we might understand the way of truth, to teach it, to worship by it, and to live forward, look forward to it, being the realm of God's kingdom eternally being there lived in. What a blessing we have. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, I want you to, today on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've done that in days gone by and not lived up to it, won't you return today as Simon did in Acts chapter 8 in repentance and prayer that he might be forgiven of God and might reward himself and not be guilty of these things of which Simon Peter told him, your heart is not right with God. Let our heart become right with God and righteous with the Lord and under his way of truth in our lives. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, come today as we stand and as we sing together.
Thine shall the glory be, lest thou forget thy thorn crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me in Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love.
I have this evening a change of my sermons to come in the next couple of months of time. And it'll begin tonight with a PowerPoint presentation. We'll be using the screen here. We'll be using a projector to have the information in front of you. And I have a lot of those kind of things to explain and show Sunday mornings and Sunday nights over the next couple of months of time. I trust that you will enjoy that as we begin tonight. Come and be a part of it at 6 if you can. God bless.
God, direct us and forgive us for our sins, for the first time.